Adventures in Research. This is Paul Shannon transcribing another tale of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer at the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. A story of the perfect clock. The year is 1700, the age of exploration. Seafaring men are subduing the terrors of the unknown reaches of ocean, charting new maps where once were only expanses of unknown, and ever pushing back the unplumbed vistas where once only the legendary sea monsters lurked. But there was danger, constant danger, in the strange, unknown reaches of all the sea.
Rollin! Rollin! Find out what the lookout is saying. All who can see anything in this storm is beyond me. 23 years of sailing and never a storm as bad as this. Must be miles off our course. Blast this storm.
We've calculated our position as east of Barton's Point. There's no sign of a lighthouse, Captain.
Calculate! Calculate! Who can chart the skies with this watch? What good are the figures when we don't know the hour? What good is anything? What? Hold it! See that? That flash of lightning? I thought... It can't be that far off our course. It's impossible. It couldn't have been the Great Reef. It couldn't have been. We can just ride out this storm until...
Death. What about the reef?
And Lloyd's of London tolls the bell for another ship lock. Lost with all hands on board to the jagged fingers of the Great Reef. What good are lighthouses, or charts, or calculations, when the storms can blind and blot the best of man-made navigation? Old seafaring men scanned the skies for favorable signs, muttered seamen's shanties to bolster their courage. But the King of England scanned more than skies. He scanned the minds, the finest scientific minds of the empire, for an answer.
Sir Isaac, the future of English exploration is at stake.
I've heard the news, Your Majesty. The Venture was lost this morning.
That's 5 ships in less than a fortnight. I've called on you because you're a scientist. What do these ships need?
What do they need?
A clock. A clock? These ships have timepieces, the best that can be made.
Not good enough, Your Majesty. To determine the ship's longitude, the navigator must time the moon's journey through space. Imagine the moon at the center of the circle, and the Earth on the edge of the circle. You see that a very slight error in the distance traveled by the moon would make a very large error here on the Earth. What these ships need is a clock better than...
Then why haven't we one?
Your Majesty, there are certain factors to be considered. The variables. Motions of the ship. Changes in temperature and climate. Difference in gravity of the latitude. 101 variable factors that can't...
I am not interested in variables. I am interested in a timepiece. To the man who makes an accurate watch, I will give £20,000.
£20,000 for a perfect watch.
Even Christopher Wren had a try at it. He might have built St. Paul's, but he couldn't build a clock to suit him.
Year after year went by, and the Royal Board of Longitude inspected effort after effort. But no clock measured up to the standard. No clock passed the test. No clock could conquer the variable.
The blooming Board of Longitude will be hanging on to the money wire till the River Shannon flows backwards.
10 long years passed, marked by the tolling of the bell. Counted off on reefs and strands, checked by the crack of a hull, the splintering of a prow, and the shroud-like fog that covered all.
Crikey, who can invent a perfect clock anyhow?
Who? A man named John Harrison, barely able to read, who could write little more than his own name. Son of an illiterate carpenter, he could invent a perfect clock. He was so convinced of it, he sold his carpenter shop, and by 1728... was ready to submit the results of his work to the Astronomer Royal.
You see, Sir Thomas, this is what I call the compensation pendulum. As you're aware, sir, all metals contract with cold and expand with heat. The ordinary pendulum now in use grows longer in hot weather, shorter in cold. That makes the clock undependable. But all metals do not contract and expand at the same rate. So I built this pendulum of two different metals, steel and brass. A bar of steel, a bar of brass, and a bar of steel. So, as you see, the metal that expands the faster is counteracted by the metal that expands the slower. I've kept such a pendulum in my house for years. The clock has not varied so much as a minute.
Sir Thomas Halley, Britain's Astronomer Royal, looked with favor on the doughty ex-carpenter's weird idea. And John Harrison went home to build a clock and apply to the Board of Longitude for the £20,000. 7 years of hammering, tinkering, taking odd jobs to get the money to live and buy materials, learn new skills, all for a perfect timepiece to frighten the fog, cheat the oceans, and win...
£20,000.
And so it came to pass in 1735 that eager, unlearned John Harrison, son of an illiterate carpenter, went before the Board of Longitude to demonstrate his perfect clock, the chronometer. And the Royal Society said...
Extraordinary. And this spring here, Doctor, is another compensation. As you know, when you wind a watch, the mechanism stops during the process of winding. This extra spring I've added keeps the clock working while you wind it. It loses no time.
Extraordinary.
I know, Doctor, the chronometer will work at sea. I've had it set in a special frame and tried it on a seagoing barge. It worked accurately.
The principles of this invention promise a great measure of accuracy, yes. I will give you a certificate to that effect, signed by myself.
A certificate? But what about the £20,000?
My good man, the Board of Longitude has seen hundreds of clocks and boxes and timepieces and chronometers. Many of them had merit. We'll have to see if yours can pass the test. And then perhaps... yes. We'll try to...
On board the HMS Oxford, one of His Majesty's warships, went the framed and begadgeted timepiece, ready to prove or disprove the years of work by the amateur inventor. The sea was calm, the skies were fair. And what if the captain seemed a little indifferent? He had seen many of these metallic gewgaws taking their single voyage. The lookout cried,
"Land ahead!"
And the captain smiled. It would be Star Point they were nearing. The figures of the navigator checked. Star Point it was, and...
I beg to differ with you, gentlemen. But my figures say it's not Star Point at all. It's Lizard Island we must be nearing.
The captain shrugged his shoulders. He could understand the little man's enthusiasm, but after all, he knew the ocean like...
the palm of my hand. And, good heavens, Newbury Lighthouse. By all that's holy, the man's right. We're coming to Lizard. When we reach port, I'll give you a letter outlining the success of this clock.
But the board had an objection.
Extraordinary, Mr. Harrison, but the chronometer's too unwieldy. Go home and build a smaller chronometer. This one is far too cumbersome. And by all means, consult us when you've completed it. Yes, do.
And 4 years later, Harrison had finished a smaller chronometer, but...
not quite right, Harrison. Suppose you try again. The theory is practicable, but you realize...
And 10 years after that, the plucky little man had built another. This time he showed it to the Royal Society of Astronomers.
And as president of the Royal Society, I am pleased the machine invented by John Harrison works with a degree of exactitude that is astounding. I am proud to award the gentleman the highest prize we can bestow, the Royal Society Gold Medal.
Thank you. I hope the Board of Longitude will be as impressed as you have been.
But was it? In 1751...
The board is making arrangements to test the chronometer.
And in 1756...
The board is making final arrangements.
And in 1761 came the news.
Father, it's a message for you from the Board of Longitude.
Plague take him. I won't listen to it.
But it's good news, Father. They say your chronometer will be tested on the Dorsetshire, bound for Jamaica and back to England on the Deptford. They want you to be ready to sail in a fortnight.
Now they want me to be ready. After my waiting for them for how many years, I should be ready in a fortnight.
So John Harrison sent his oldest boy, William, on the journey. He sat at the window waiting for news of the Deptford. He'd waited a long time. He could wait a little longer, a little while longer. And finally, William returned with the good news that...
Father, the chronometer worked to perfection. It was tested by all the big scientists in London and found to be correct within 5 seconds.
5 seconds. 5 seconds. I suppose they'll want me to rebuild it again to make up for that 5 seconds.
They were all very pleased, Father. And they recommended to the Board of Longitude you be given the prize money.
And the Board of Longitude finally replied...
The Board of Longitude will take the matter under advisement.
But though the Board of Longitude was a bit forgetful, others were more appreciative of John Harrison's perfect clock.
Father, it's a letter with the Royal Seal from the King of Sardinia.
Read it, William. My eyesight has failed along with everything else, I guess.
Father, you're not...
Yes, yes. I'm an old man with no spirit left in me. I've been a failure...
Listen, Father. It's an order from the King of Sardinia for 4 chronometers. He'll pay you £1,000 apiece.
Huh? A foreign country does that. In the contemptible Board of Longitude... Here, give me a paper in quill. I'll write to that Board of Longitude a letter that'll scorch their ears off. I'll tell them.
And this time the letter got results. The board sent Harrison half the prize and promised the rest if one more test was successful. This time the trial was made by the great explorer, Captain Cook, in his memorable voyage around the world. Cook reported to the Royal Society afterward.
Gentlemen, on this voyage, I have not only worked as navigator, but as mathematician and astronomer. I was invaluably aided in all this work by the wonderful instrument, the chronometer. Without it, I would have little of value to report to the scientific world.
And to patient John Harrison came one last bit of good news.
The Board of Longitude is sending the remainder of the £20,000 to John Harrison for his extraordinary invention. The Board of Longitude has worked diligently, unceasingly, and with all possible dispatch to discover the perfect clock. We trust we are not rash in deciding in favor of Mr. Harrison's chronometer.
The good doctor had no reason to fear the hasty decision. John Harrison's chronometer is still in working order today at Greenwich Observatory, while ships steer safely and surely because of John Harrison's achievement in science, his assurance of patience, his adventure in research. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.